It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
The Family Show, John and Gordy, and coming up in just a few moments, the debacle that took place yesterday at the National Association of Black Journalists.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll get to that. It is 7 minutes past the hour now, 75 degrees. We had a few showers earlier. We're going to be in for more later on today, probably after 3 or 4 o'clock, some pretty heavy showers and thunderstorms, and then those continue off and on into the evening and overnight. Again, right now, 75.
All right. In the studio, Terry Bell.
Good morning, guys.
How Hi. You doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. Tell us what you got for us today here.
As far as the big story of the day.
The big story.
Yes. More bad news, I'm afraid. I've been a bearable ray of sunshine, I know.
Today,
infant mortality rose in the United States for the first time since 2002. That's a 20-year stretch since the last study. So the nationwide infant mortality rate went from 5.4 to 5.6. So that still means that for every 1,000 babies that were born in 2022, between five and six did not make it to their first birthdays. So, that's something definitely that I'm sure public policymakers want to keep an eye on.
So, what do they think? Why is this?
A number of reasons. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had five leading causes, and those were congenital malformations, disorders related to short gestation periods and low birth weight, sudden infant death syndrome, which we call SIDS, accidents, and maternal complications. Patterns largely hold true in Wisconsin. Low birth weights and SIDS are among the leading causes of death here, especially for Black and Native populations.
So we're one of the worst in the nation, Wisconsin.
In the bottom half, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is it it's care for the birth mom?
It could be, absolutely. When you look at things like SIDS and short gestation periods, that would certainly seem to help, especially since we see that populations of color seem to spike higher than others.
So how does leadership respond to that?
Well, what do they do? What has happened is Governor Evers puts together a budget every 2 years, and in that budget, he tries to cover pre- and postnatal care for pregnant women.
Right.
Every year or every 2 years, the Republicans reject it. They have done nothing for pre- and postnatal care.
So you're saying that this is the result of bad management of a state.
Bad policy. Exactly. And for some reason, I don't know why they don't want to help, especially postnatal. That's why we have such large numbers of deaths for Black individuals. So it's just, it's really sad. It's horrible. It's horrifying. And I don't know why this is allowed. And I don't know why people, vote the way they vote. We should be protecting these lives. They say they're protecting lives, but they're not. They don't care. Pre- and postnatal, they don't fund it. And they don't care what happens. So I know it's brutal, but they don't want to fund it. Well, okay. All right. And I'm going to tell it like it is. I think it's a very, very, very bad testament to their party. Anyway, I brought it into the party. I'm not including Terrell in this thing. Okay, that's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I bring the news, you bring the opinion.
There you go.
That's the way it works.
Exactly.
Thanks for stirring things up, Terry.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. Oh, all right. Wow. Get me going here. Yeah. Angry Johnny is about to be unleashed.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Terry.
All right, Terry. Thank you.
We can see what you did now. You get to leave, and we're stuck. I'm just kidding. <keep
walking. laughs> Right. Oh my gosh. All right.
See you tomorrow, Terry.
afraid to come in here now. All right, the National Association of Black Journalists.
They had
Trump as a guest. They were highly criticized for inviting Trump in the first place.
Yeah.
The Devils talked to Bill Press, pundit for many, many years. And Press also jumped on board and said, oh, yeah, it was a bad decision that they made. They shouldn't treat him like a real candidate. He's crazy. We shouldn't be treating him like a sane person, and they shouldn't have invited him on this panel, and that is wrong.
So he was part of a panel. He wasn't an individual speaker?
No, it was a panel. It was a panel of journalists at the National Association of Black Journalists. They had a panel. They invited him on stage, and they asked him questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
It did not go well. Went off the rails. Although my theory is Trump, this is exactly what he wanted. This is exactly what he wanted to do.
All right. Well, let's just play Cut 4. It's self-contained. It's the entire question. Let's all check this out.
You're golfing all the time, but if you win, you'll still be, but if you win, you'll still be president at 82, which is older than Biden is right now.
But not mentally.
Here's the question.
He's shot. But most people, I know many people in their 80s and their 90s that are in great shape. Some of our greatest leaders. You look at throughout the world history, the greatest leaders, some of the greatest leaders in the world were in their 80s.
But here's the question. Would you consider stepping down if you felt that your health was declining? Or would you?
Oh, absolutely.
And who would make,
I think I'd know.
How would you make that decision?
I think I'd know. Look, if I came onto a stage like this and I got treated so rudely as this woman treated me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm fine with it because she was very rude, sir. Very rude. That was a nasty. That wasn't a question.
Wow.
She didn't ask me a question. She gave a statement. That wasn't a question.
I repeated your statement.
That's the child in the room.
Wow.
Having a little tantrum, and this is the opening question that spurred all of that on. Let's check this. This is cut 5.
People did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys.
Lord.
You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner.
Again.
First question. You don't even say, hello, how are you?
Oh, my God.
Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit.
I
love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and I say this, historically, black colleges and universities were out of money. They were stone cold broke. And I saved them and I gave them long-term financing and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well,
tantrum.
Where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming.
Unbelievable.
And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love
I think
you
it's
can
a
answer
very
the question
nasty
on your
question.
Rhetoric and why
I have
that
answered
black
the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better than President Johnson, who signed the Voting Rights Act.
And for you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
Yeah, that's a real disgrace. Unbelievable, huh? The crowd was not on it. And this is just a disaster. Let's continue as he digs his hole even deeper.
There's more?
My gosh, there's a lot more.
A ton more.
Let's get to DEI here.
If he had walked off the stage, it would have gone better for him, right? Is that what you're telling me?
We got time for six. Here. Okay.
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me
a definition then. Would you give me a definition of that? Give me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question.
No, you
very
have to define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
will. I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So. I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always
but
identified
you know
as a black woman.
I respect
she went to a historically
either
black
one.
College.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn, and she went... She became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you
I
believe
think,
that she is
I think somebody should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
It's a direct question, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, as some Republicans
have said?
I really don't know.
Could be. There are some. And
could
there are,
be.
Plenty.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty trippy. And the fact is, her mother is Somalian, black, and her father is Jamaican
yes.
black.
Yeah.
She was born in India, but she's black.
She's
okay.
Black.
I mean,
right.
you know,
yeah.
just
yeah,
to set the
no
record
question.
Straight.
Just, thank you for answering
okay.
that. The question that I had, because I care so much about all of that.
Oh, boy. 19 minutes past 7.
We've got more.
Oh,
there's much more, huh? Highs today about 80. Also, we've got comments from Governor Tim Walz right around the corner on the John and Gordy Show.
States Army ramps up activity.
Interim President assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
Yeah. God bless America.
That.
Yes.
What is
Civil
that?
War.
Civil War. The
yes.
movie. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All clips from Civil War.
Movie.
I know it was horrible.
It really left me a little unsettled throughout the rest
still
of the day.
To this day.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, normally we'd have Brittany Merlot here. She's still under the weather.
Yeah.
We're
all
kind
again.
Of under the weather, but she's more so.
Good yeah. thing we have a weatherman on staff.
Well, yeah, former weatherman. I always like to point that out, so don't blame me. Showers today. We had some rain earlier. What?
You almost think he's a little traumatized by
a
the whole
bit,
experience.
I did it for 20 years.
And you get blamed.
I did my time.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
Highs today about 80. We could be in for some pretty strong or maybe even severe thunderstorms later this afternoon after 3 or 4 o'clock and into the evening. You know how it goes. So keep an eye to the sky and an ear right here. We'll keep you updated here. Weather Central.
I've got goosebumps. I've got goosebumps, man. That's
blah, blah, blah.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Well, let's go back to the National Association of Black Journalists.
Oh, there's more. Yes.
Their panel where they had as their guest Donald Trump.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, what was the corporate? What was the organization again? What it's Association of
National
Black
Association
National
of Broadcast Journalists.
Broadcast. Oh,
I
not African American.
Black journalists.
I'm
black
sorry.
Journalists. Yeah,
yes.
It is black journalists.
Yeah.
Okay. So the audience full of African Americans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's getting some stage time.
Yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to a cut where he throws the vice president under the bus. Yeah, you know, JD is not going to feel very good about going out there campaigning for Trump at this point. Oh, what the heck? Let's listen.
And you said normally it really wouldn't matter what they would bring. You know, you choose somebody that you think has a future, that sort of thing. But you said these words 3.5 hours before an attempted assassination on your life. You told me that bad things happen, Harris. And that's why this decision is important this time. Bad things happen. You said it twice. When you look at J.D. Vance, is he ready on day one?
Does he what?
Ready on day one, if he has to be.
I've always had great respect for him and for the other candidates, too. But I will say this, and I think this is well documented. Mm-hmm. Historically, the vice president, in terms of the election, does not have any impact. I mean, virtually no impact.
No impact.
You have 2 or 3 days where there's a lot of commotion as to who, like you're having it on the Democrat side, who it's going to be.
Sarah Palin.
And then that dies down, and it's all about the presidential pick. Virtually never has it mattered. Maybe Lyndon Johnson mattered for different reasons
Dan
than what
Quayle.
We're talking about. Not for vote reasons, but for political reasons, other political reasons.
Oh,
but
God.
Historically, the choice of a vice president makes no difference. You're voting for the president, and you can have a vice president who's outstanding in every way, and I think J.D. is. I think that all of them would have been. But you're not voting that way. You're voting for the president. You're voting for me. If you like me, I'm going to win. If you don't like me, I'm not going to win.
All right.
There it is. Thank goodness
well,
he said it.
He finally said something
he
that made sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, JD. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't. In fact, it sounds like they don't really even communicate at all.
I suspect.
So why don't we get to cut 10, and this is in regards to the January 6th hostages. All right. This is jaw-dropping stuff.
140 police officers were assaulted that day. Their injuries included broken bones, at least one officer lost an eye, one had 2 cracked ribs, 2 smashed spinal discs, another had a stroke. Were the people who assaulted those 140 officers, including those I just mentioned, patriots who deserve pardons?
Well, let me bring it back to modern day. Like about 5 days ago, we had an attack on the Capitol. What's going to happen to the people in Portland that destroyed that city?
But, sir, my question
city?
Is on those...
What's going to happen to the people that tried to...
My question is on those rioters who assaulted
Excuse
officers.
Me. You have to
Would
end.
You pardon
What's
those
What's
going to
happen? Oh, absolutely, I would.
You
if
would pardon
innocent,
those...
If they're innocent, I would pardon them.
They've been convicted.
And, by the way, the Supreme Court just under...
They're arrested.
Well, they were convicted by a very tough system. They were... How come
what?
The people that tried to burn down Minneapolis, how come the people that... took over a large percentage of Seattle. How come nothing happened to them? How come the
but
people
sir, we're
that...
we're talking about people that were
people,
seen
no,
beating
no.
officers
we're talking
with
about
flag
federal
poles,
buildings.
Dragging
on
them
film.
Down the stairs. They're on
they
video. Have you seen that
really?
Video, sir?
Oh, really? Well, they
you
shot...
Would pardon those, you would pardon those rioters?
They shot a young lady in the face who was protesting. They shot her in the face. You know, nobody died that day. You do know that.
Wait, you
but
just
people
said somebody
died. In
died.
Seattle.
What?
Nobody died, but people died in Minneapolis. You know people died in Minneapolis. And nothing happens, and nobody ever talks, and nothing happens to those people.
You see, whataboutism. That's what it's about for him. And he doesn't care. You know, the legal system determined that they were guilty. The hostages were guilty. But it was under a very strict system. So, you know.
Right.
These are the law and order parties.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We're finally going to have a definition here on what are black jobs.
Right.
This is cut 11.
Yeah, this came up.
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. My message is to stop people from invading our country that are taking, frankly, a lot of problems with it. But one of the big problems, and a lot of the journalists in this room I know and I have great respect for, a lot of the journalists in this room are black. I will tell you that coming from the border are millions and millions of people that happen to be taking black jobs. You had the best...
What there exactly is a black job, sir?
A black job is anybody that has a job. That's what it is. Anybody that has a job.
What?
And
Mr.
they're taking,
President,
they're
what
taking the employment away from black people. The first group of people, the black population, is affected most by that. And Kamala is allowing it to happen. She's the border czar. She's the worst border czar in the history of the world. There's never been a border czar like this. She's never even essentially been. She said she was there once, but not the right part of the border. These people are coming into our country and they're taking black jobs and Hispanic jobs. And frankly, they're taking union jobs. Unions are being very badly affected by all of the millions of people that are pouring into our country. And one thing, as we discussed, many of these people are coming in from mental institutions, from prisons, from jails,
the Hannibal Lecters, the Hannibal Lecters. Yeah. Oh my God. It's crazy stuff, isn't it? Now, when you're
just rambling.
Black jobs are just, you know, jobs. They're jobs. Yeah. Okay. Wow. The crowd just freaked out. Absolutely freaked out.
We got a text from Robert McFarland. He heard us talking about Kamala being born in India. You meant raised in India, probably, because she was born in California.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
She raised
she spent
in India.
A lot of time in India as a child, probably. And yeah, absolutely right. But that is the difference.
Let's quickly go to the phones if we got a minute. Dick is on the line with a question or a comment. Go ahead, Dick.
You guys are awesome because you picked up on that right away. The national media should have seized on that moment when he said that. And then they should have followed up with a question, does this mean if you lose, you'll leave?
Yes.
That would have been the next one. But
the other
thing that he said was really ridiculous. He spoke of her failing the bar exam. So I looked it up. So she did. You know what? Most people do.
Most
people.
A very
high number of them do. Yeah. Yes. And so could I point out this then? Somebody should have asked him. You failed in business many times and declared bankruptcy. Should you never have a business again?
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Perfect.
Good points, Dick. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Dick.
Yep.
Well, we didn't have enough time for the last cut, but that's fine.
We didn't figure it all out. No.
But it was a devastating appearance, and they will regret that. I think people will remember this particular press conference. This is an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing.
He was right out there, right in front of us.
7:29. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Paula Severson from Dane by Local, happening right here on the John and Gordy Show. On the dot, cloudy, some showers along the way today, maybe some strong thunderstorms later. Right now we're at 75 degrees. Just to cleanse our palate before we get into this next segment, which concerns food, we got one more text about the last segment here, John.
Yes.
About DTs.
Remember the medical term you're going through, the DTs? Well, how much longer are we going to suffer the DTs, Donald Trump?
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Nice. One
good
more
one.
Last shot.
Good one. Sherry,
okay.
Sherry, thanks again for the emojis.
Time to move on now, and we welcome into our studios here Paula Severson. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Paula is with Dane by Local, and today is a big, big day for Dane by Local, right? It's Eat Local, Give Local Day, right?
It sure is. We're very excited. We've got 34 locations around the area, City of Madison, the surrounding communities, and just go out and explore a new flavor, a new restaurant. And 10% of the proceeds actually come back to Dane by Local to support the work we do.
Right. And you know, in this day and age where, you know, it's globalization, the internet, you can order stuff online and you can do all that kind of stuff. You can also order online locally and support those businesses that way, right?
You sure can. So you can find all the participating locations at danebylocal.com. You can click on each of the restaurants, and you'll be taken either to their website or their Facebook page.
Yes.
And a lot of them have the online ordering, and you can see their menu and explore.
No kidding. Well, I got two Gen Zers who are using it extensively, so I'm familiar. Oh, yeah.
So that generation has figured it out. The pandemic...
They're not afraid to order online and have it delivered.
They like the online delivery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I thought you meant they went local. They went back to local. No.
What do you mean local?
Meaning
you're ordering
kids.
From a local restaurant.
Okay. You're ordering from local. I see.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that they we're still with Amazon or whatever.
No.
So, Paula, again, how many local restaurants are participating this year?
34.
There's a lot of them here.
There's a lot of them. And we tried to note, too, if they're City of Madison, it doesn't say Madison. But for the other locations, Fitchburg, Sun Prairie, we tried to put that right by the restaurant name.
Yes.
It's all of Dane County.
Yep.
It is. Yeah.
You have Cambridge, you have Rona in here. Oregon.
We do. So, you know, I heard you talking this morning about National Respect Your Parents Day.
Yes.
There is no better way to respect your parents than to take them out to eat today.
You are so right about that.
Great idea.
On my dime, I know it, but, you know, I appreciate the thought.
Yes. So why is buying local really, really important?
So especially in the food systems, right? We many of our restaurants do food farm to table. And so when you get your food locally, it's more sustainable because it's not being shipped halfway across the country.
Right.
And you're also supporting the growers here. You're supporting the restaurants here. 68 cents on every dollar stays right back into the community.
Now, I have to think that maybe Madison is like leading the pack on this. We've been doing this for years, decades.
We have been, yes. Yeah.
Short stack.
Well, short right stack there. For yep. one. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we are blessed in Madison, right? Because people get it.
We take it for granted.
We
actually.
Do. Yeah. We actually do. But we also have a lot of new people that are coming to the Madison area every year, right? So many more people are moving to Dane County, so we need to get them kind of in this buy local vibe as well.
Now, do you also have, I was looking on your website here, which is excellent, but you operate with some volunteers, or a lot of the restaurants involved with Dane by Local work with volunteers.
Yes,
explain
absolutely.
That, how that works.
So we have, we're a nonprofit organization, so we have a volunteer board of directors, we have committees that are volunteers, and then our restaurants, man, they just give back so much to the community. They are, you know, sponsoring kids' sports teams. They're volunteering in the community. They're just so engaged.
Madison seems to be, and Dane County, really just a foodie mecca.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many to choose from. And I know we can't mention all of these that are on the list today. But you want to highlight maybe, you know, a handful of them that that you know of that are
places
in the mix.
Go.
Yeah, places you go. I mean, John gave his testimony while we were off the air.
North of the bayou.
Yep.
That's
some Cajun food out on the east side.
Yeah. I mean, I can't pick favorites, right? And different ones have, like, Mentoring Positives.
Well,
I don't know
could.
If you know about them. They're a nonprofit. and so they actually work with youth, and they make pizzas and salsa, you know. So, again, they're doing great work beyond just providing food.
There's so many different kinds of businesses, too.
There are.
Windsor Bread's Bakery and Coffee House.
Right.
Yes.
Windsor. I love Windsor. That's a beautiful little town.
If he has the Elvis muffin
really?
Out today, yes. It's, you know, peanut butter and chocolate. Oh, yes. And banana, yes. And again, these local businesses are so creative with their food, right? They just love to do fun things and try different things. And
a lot of the great new restaurants out on Sun Prairie are also participating in this program as well.
Yes, absolutely.
What's the Madison Tasting Room? I haven't been there. That must be newer than 22 years ago.
For
my last
Cambridge Winery? So it's Cambridge Winery's Madison Tasting Room, and it is over by Vitens.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have food there as well.
Winery in Cambridge, nice.
Yes, yes. Their rosé is very good. You should go try
it.
Okay,
I'll run it.
So this is all day?
This is all day today.
Into the evening.
Into the evening.
Yep.
So you have time to make plans. You could go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Again, don't go grab your parents. Go, take them out for dinner.
Well, the nice thing is, you know, it employs over 8,000 people full-time in the area.
We do.
And contributes over 145,000 volunteer hours. And they donate over $5.2 million to nonprofit organizations. It's just unbelievable.
Wow. They are just pouring right back.
That's
They're
great
pouring
stuff.
Right back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the participating restaurants today, 10% off, right?
No, 10% goes back of your food purchases
goes back
today
in.
By local.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So that supports the work that we do.
It's not a discount, but the money.
Investing in the community.
Yes.
It goes back into the
absolutely.
Community.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you guys do great work.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Villa Dolce Cafe in Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my hometown.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, lots of different locations that you could certainly try. And then a couple of like breweries. So like Delta Beer Lab, right? So if you go to Delta for a beer.
Off the Beltline and Rimrock Road. Yeah.
Yep.
And Zuzu Cafe, one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, right down here by the zoo.
Yes, that's really cool.
You know, we had a guy from Zuzu. Yeah. I don't know whether it was a manager or not. He used to call us up at WMAD when we worked there. Yeah,
30 years
ago. He was a crazy guy. He was really nuts, and it was a lot of fun. And I thought maybe he was one of the owners.
I think they have music there on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jazz musicians show up on the patio there. I was there a couple of months ago, and it was just a wonderful evening. And these musicians kept showing up. And by the end of the evening, there must have been like 15 or 20 of them out on the patio, all just, you know, jamming some jazz and music. And it was a great
time. Did you bring your guitar to play with?
I did not, Paul. Had I known that maybe you would be interested, because I know you're a singer, I would have brought my guitar.
I would love to.
They do have regular jazz sessions, jam sessions. I'm trying to spit out the words. Yeah, they do that on a regular basis. Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. Anyway.
Awesome.
So a busy day for you today.
It is busy, but I'm starting it off here with a bang, so I'm excited. I'm going to be kind of moving around the county today.
Oh,
and
very good.
Yeah,
more radio stations?
No. I mean, of course. You guys are my favorite. Am I supposed to say that?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I heard you couldn't pick favorites.
Dane by Lowe.
you said earlier you couldn't pick favorites, but we'll take
restaurant.
That down.
Okay.
DaneByLocal.com can find out all about this.
That's awesome. Yes. Thank you so much.
Well, Paula, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming in. And, you know, any other questions from anybody?
No, I think that's about it.
We're done with the interrogation. The witness is free to go about her business.
I appreciate
you
guys.
No, we really appreciate it. I know. You. By the way, I remember you just moved here recently, right? Not too long ago?
No, I've lived in the area for over 20 years.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Old age. Yeah, take me away. All right. Thank you, Paula.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
A lot of fun.
We hope you have a wonderful day. Yeah.
That's a good fun day.
Yes. Supporting a local business, that's the way to go.
It is.
Taking my sister out. Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Yeah,
do that. You got a lot to choose from there.
I do.
7:44 now. Cloudy skies. Want to remind you that this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's East or West Side or online at verlo.com. And again, if you want to find out more about Dane by Local, just go to danebylocal.com and you'll be able to find out all about what's happening today and tonight.
Contribute to your society.
Yes.
Well, what do you got? It's under the radar, John. What do you got?
I've got more Media World. Right
okay,
here.
Media World. More
this is it.
What do you got?
Okay, I've got some stuff for you.
All right.
Here we go. Hang on. Of course you are.
It's from our old TV cable show. And by the way, that's a version of a Firetown song.
So Fire? What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Firetown, the band?
Yeah, it used to be Spooner.
Yes. And then,
yeah. But this is the Obro
singing.
Well,
eventually
it, now, right?
It ended up being Garbage, the band.
Right.
With Butch Vig. And,
yeah, a lot of changes Doug for Harris. Them. But great music. Great music from them. And we're going to get into Media World right now.
Okay.
This is not good news. This is horrifying news.
Can we just have some good news?
No. We have nothing but bad news on this program.
All right. I give in.
But we get
that's
to laugh about it, okay?
Yeah.
That's
okay,
why we,
yes.
In a sick way, we always laugh about the bad news here.
That's it.
What do you got?
All right. In a 9-7 ruling, the conservative Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans called a charge, this is a service, this is a fee charge, basically, that supplies the U.S. poor internet service and phone service.
Okay.
There's a fee that we all pay when we pay our bills for cable and our telephone bill. There's a fee that's attached to it.
There's 9 fees. So this one fee?
This one fee helps the poor get cable access, internet access,
yes,
and phone service.
Fair enough.
All right? Mm-hmm. And this is about to go away because of the Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans says, nope, it's a misbegotten tax. See, they see it as a tax, but it is actually a fee, not a tax. The right-wing consumers research group challenged the Universal Service Fund. That's what it's called. It's a fund. It means it's a fee. And they distribute $8.1 billion in 2023. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of service for people who can't afford a phone or internet service.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Sixth Circuit and the 11th Circuit have both upheld the program. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to review either of those decisions, right? Hmm. But now that there's a counter decision, mm-hmm. now it's like up to them to make that decision. Is it a fee or is it a tax?
The Supreme Court is going to?
Well, we don't know yet. This is a recent decision out of the Fifth Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just looking at it. The FCC's chairwoman, and it's dominated by Democrats this time, said that the fee had bipartisan support and helped mostly rural and least connected households in our country, as well as hospitals, schools, and libraries nationwide.
Oh. Yeah, this is what I was going to ask. This affects a lot of the rural communities.
It does.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
it's huge.
We're counting on this to, again, get cable and get internet access out there.
And they say that the fee helped create the world's best and most far-reaching communications network ever. It makes this country run.
Yeah.
And this is an important fee that now conservatives on the Fifth Circuit are trying to say is a tax and is not allowed, and that fee might just go away, mm-hmm. and people will be disconnected in this country.
Awesome.
It is 7:49. Coming back with odds and ends, this and that, and the other on the John and Gordy Show for the first day of August, this Thursday.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show.
7:51, want to remind you, Wisconsin's fall primary is happening August 13th. That's right around the corner. As we move into August here, make a plan to be a voter in every election from local to state matters. Be sure to make a plan to be a voter between now and August 13th. There's a deadline to request an absentee ballot coming up August 8th. Regular and permanent overseas voters. If you're a regular or permanent overseas voter, your absentee ballot request must be received by your local municipal clerk.
Don't panic.
No later than 5 p.m. on August 8th. August 8th, okay? You got till August 8th at 5 p.m. with your municipal clerk, okay?
Voter. Okay.
I just want to, you know, we get texts all the time, and I just want to reassure Kurt, who said that people going through the DTs, Donald Trump, he texted again. He says, in hindsight, maybe that's a bad example. No, just relax, okay, Kurt?
It's good. It's
we
good.
Got you. We got you on that.
It's all right.
We're backing you up. All right, let's get to some of the odds and ends things. You know, Pete Buttigieg, one of my favorite individuals ever.
Yeah, he's a
transportation secretary, and he should be the next president. But anyway, I mean,
after
Kamala, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so we have him discussing the cat lady thing from J.D. Vance.
Oh, boy.
So I want to give you a little reminder of J.D.'s comment here. Cut 166. Uh-oh, this is the three-digit one.
There's just these basic cadences of life that I think are really powerful and really, really valuable when you have kids in your life. And the fact that so many people, especially in America's leadership class, just don't have that in their lives, you know, I worry that it makes people more sociopathic and ultimately our whole country a little bit less less mentally stable. And of course, you talk about going on Twitter. Final point I'll make is you go on Twitter and almost always the people who are most deranged and most psychotic are people who don't have kids at home.
Wow.
Well, that's not true. Certainly kind of ridiculous. So Pete was on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg, I'm talking about. And this is cut 165.
Look, there is a temptation to have our message be entirely about Donald Trump because we're so disturbed by what his return would mean.
Right.
And maybe a little more also about J.D. Vance because of how odd he's turned out to be.
I got to tell you, boy, did that dude drop a turd on launch. Like, I've never seen anything like that where they were like, one day they were like, the heir to the MAGA fortune and the MAGA, the Prince J.D. shall march. Yeah. And he comes out and he's like, I hate cat ladies.
Yeah. And you know, just like systematically insulted so many people. And it's not just the kind of things he said, but the policy ideas behind them. Like he has this idea that you should get extra votes if you have kids.
Extra votes?
Yeah, he suggested that you should have extra votes if you're a parent.
Really?
Now, I think there's lots of
you don't even get that in your own house.
I'm a parent. I love
that. You don't get anything.
I'm trying to find that. I mean, ours are not yet three, but... And it's rooted in this strange idea that it's not just, he doesn't just say that being a parent gives you, you know, an important role as a citizen, which I agree with, or that it gives you unique perspective on the future. It's that not being a parent makes you less. Like
I think that's absolutely how they feel.
He said, people who don't have children, this is a quote, have no physical commitment to the future of this country.
Wow.
And I just think about how, like...
offensive.
No physical commitment to the future. It's kind of like, when I was deployed to Afghanistan, I didn't have kids back then.
Right.
But I will tell you, especially when there was a rocket attack going on, my commitment to this country felt pretty physical.
This is why... this is why people love seeing you go on their shows, because that framing is perfect.
Yeah.
Because it does. It points to that idea that... who are you to tell what's in someone else's heart about what they feel about the future or what they feel about this country? And the sacrifices that you made, as you said, without having had children, were tremendous.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
He is a smart man, Pete Buttigieg. Yep.
Yeah. And as John pointed out, he's a great framer.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to just say it like it is and make people understand it easily.
You Midwestern boys, you're so smart.
Well, that's why we're here.
Just saying.
Well, you're a Midwestern. What do you?
I was raised on the East Coast. I'm an Easterner. Yeah. I mean, in my heart, I love the Midwest. I've been here longer than anywhere else.
Okay,
I get it,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's not in my soul like it is to you guys who were born and raised here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
There's a big, I just think there's a big difference between peoples. And I think the Midwest folks are salt of the earth.
Well, I've got another thing.
Well, thank you. But I was born in New York, but moved to the Midwest when I was a kid. Yeah.
You grew up,
Yeah, I was a kid. So.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get to Megyn Kelly. She used to work at Fox News.
You know, whatever happened to her?
She's still on some kind of show, and she's exploiting the attempted assassination of Trump in a weird kind of way, saying that there was a character assassination attempt on J.D. Vance, and this is cut 164.
We begin with the character assassination of J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is a threat to the Democrats because he understands and is attractive to the working class voters of the swing state Rust Belt. This, in a nutshell, is why the Democrats and their media allies are on an all-out campaign to destroy him. First, the governor of Kentucky, who is auditioning to get on the ticket with Kamala Harris, openly called J.D. Vance a phony, suggesting he's overstated his connection to hillbilly culture.
Because let me just tell you that J.D. Vance ain't from here.
J.D. Vance is a phony. He's fake. I mean, he claims to be from Eastern Kentucky, tries to write a book about it to profit off our people, and then he calls us lazy. And he called them lazy, acting like he understands our culture, and he's one of us. He's
J.D. Vance ain't from Kentucky. He ain't from Appalachia, and he ain't gonna be your vice president.
It's all a right. Lie.
That
was with the Megyn
an
Kelly
example, though. Basically, you know, but again, using the assassination attempt on Trump and using it as a way to sympathize with JD is just a stretch beyond anyone's imagination. We have a text here. Elon Musk has over 10 kids, and he's one of the most unhinged people on Twitter.
There you go.
Crazy stuff.
There it is.
It is 6:58, and hey, guess what? That's going to wrap it up for the John and Gordy Show for this first day of August. Stephanie Miller is waiting in the wings. She'll be along next. Tomorrow, we'll be here with Rocker with a Max Inc. preview. That'll do it for John and Gordy and Catherine Lake and Luke Mathers. We hope you have a wonderful day. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So long.
Take care, everybody.